Maaser Sheni Perkei Mishnah Vav 5-6. We now begin a new topic, and it's a topic which really gives us some closure to various topics we've had throughout the Seder. Back in Maseches Peah, we discussed the various gifts to the poor, including Maaser Ani. In Trumas Maaseres, and now up until now in Maaser Sheni, we discussed the gifts to the Kohanim, that's really Truma Gadola, as well as the Trumas Maaser, to the Levium, that was Maaser Rishon, to the poor people in certain years, that was Maaser Ani, and that's taken to Yerushalayim in other years, that's Maaser Sheni. And then particularly the recall, very importantly, that there's a seven-year cycle, which is divided really into two mini three-year cycles. In the first 2 years, you take Maaser Sheni and take it to Yerushalayim, and in the third year, you separate Maaser Ani and give it to the poor. And then again, in years 4, 5, and 6, the first 2 years, you separate Maaser Sheni, take it to Yerushalayim, and in the sixth year, you separate Maaser Ani and give it to the poor. So throughout those years, there's nothing forcing your hand to give it then and there to any particular Kohen or Levi as appropriate. But there is a deadline. The Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in Re'eh, Parshas Re'eh, it's in Devarim Yud Daled, Pasuk Chavches, that's 14:28. It says, Miktze Shaloshanim, at the end of 3 years, which would mean really at the end of each of the 2 3-year mini cycles, Totzi es kol ma'aser tvuascha b'shanahi. You'll take out all of the tithes of your grain in that year, v'hinachta b'sharecha, and you'll put it at your gates, meaning you'll take it out of your homes, and you'll leave it, giving proper access to those to whom it belongs. The next pasuk says, uvaha Levi, the Levi will come, ki ein lo chelek v'nach le'imach, he doesn't have his own portion of land, therefore he'll get the Maaser Rishon, v'hager v'hayasom v'halmana, and the other people on the bottom of the social totem pole, the ger, the convert, who has no family to support him really, and no social connections, hayasom, the orphan, similarly with no protections, and the almana, the widow, who has no husband to protect her, which certainly was a big issue in the time of the Mishnah and before that in the time of the Psukim, asher b'sharecha, that live in your city, va'achlu, and they will eat their various portions, v'saveu, and they'll be satisfied. That word v'saveu in other places was used as the basis of when one gives the various gifts, they should be a portion of significance that's k'dei sevi, enough to satisfy the recipient, a significant portion. Laman yivrecha Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'ase yadecha asher ta'ase, so that Hashem will bless you and your hands and all that you do. So that's the mitzvah of biur, and that really becomes the topic of the next four mishnayos as we're wrapping up Maaser Sheni here. Biur, the elimination and sort of the deadline of resolving the giving of the various gifts that must be given, whether to the poor, the Kohanim, or Levium. Now, the truth is that there's three separate categories of how biur is going to work. So when it comes to trumas, and meaning truma gadola and trumas maaser, that has to be given to the Kohen for consumption, and Maaser Rishon to Levi, and Maaser Ani to the poor. So the way one does biur is give it to the proper recipient. In other words, in those first 2 years, really the first 3 years, there's no deadline. You could be sitting on truma for a number of years, so you find a Kohen to give it to, or the Kohen you want to give it to, etc. But there is a deadline here. And the deadline comes on the, according to the gears that we have in front of us, on the eve, meaning Erev Pesach, of year 4 and year 7. That's the deadline. So on Erev Pesach, Yud Daled Nisan, of the fourth year, you must, that's your deadline. By then, you must have given all your truma, Maaser, and Maaser Ani is appropriate to the recipients, so they got what they're supposed to get. And similarly, on Erev Pesach of the seventh year. The truth is, as a side point, there is a girsa issue. Some Mishnayos have a different girsa than what we have in front of us, and the Rambam seems to have that girsa, and therefore the Rambam actually paskins that the deadline is not on the eve of the first day of Yom Tov, of Pesach, but rather on the eve of the final day, the seventh day of Pesach. Okay? So that's what the Rambam brings, but anyways, we will talk about, as most Mefarshim do, and most Rishonim do, on Erev Pesach of year 4 and year 7. So that's the first issue, is you have to give what you're supposed to give. Trumas Maaser, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Ani. The second issue is Maaser Sheni and Neter Avai and Bikurim. So those aren't things you give to other people. Your Maaser Sheni is for you to consume in Yerushalayim. Same goes with your Neter Avai. That's supposed to be treated the same way as your Maaser Sheni, your fourth year of the tree's fourth year produce. That's to be taken to Yerushalayim and consumed there as Maaser Sheni is. And Bikurim is supposed to be brought up to the Yerushalayim and waved in front of the Mizbeach and given to Kohanim, but it might be sitting in your house. So those three things, that when the deadline comes, Bio requires not removing from your house and giving it to somebody, but rather actually destroying it. Meaning, if you've now not gone to Yerushalayim in 3 years, and now we are on Erev Pesach of the fourth year or the seventh year, and you have Maaser Sheni in your cupboard, or Neter Avai in your cupboard, or Bikurim in your cupboard for that matter, or even the cupboard of the Kohen, in truth, the locus, we'll see. So then you actually have to destroy that Maaser Sheni and Neter Avai, meaning that you have to burn it, or you could throw it into the ocean. Whatever the case is, it must be destroyed. So Bior, in the context of those things, Maaser Sheni and Neter Avai, and Bikurim means actual destruction of the food, according to Rambam. We'll stick to that for now. And the third category is actual tevel, that is produce that hasn't been tithed at all. So that means it has latent trumas and maaseris, tithes embedded in that tevel, that untithed produce, but they haven't been tithed at all. So normally the rule is that there isn't a mitzvah asli on the gavra, on the farmer himself, to do the tithing per se. It's a mitzvah on the produce, meaning there's nothing that forces your hand to take maaser rishon and give it to a levi. You could leave your food as tevel, and that could just sit around for a while. But there comes a deadline in year four and year seven where you now have to tithe your food and clean up your financial accounts, giving the Kohanim, Levim, and the poor people their due as appropriate. So, again, that third category, you have to separate your tithes from any tevel that's still embedded in it. Okay, so that's the mitzvah of Biur. The Mishnah we'll discuss inside pretty much what I just said, but I wanted the proper introduction. It says inside, Erev Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, on the eve of the first day of Yom Tov of Pesach, Shel Revius of the fourth year in the seven-year Shemitah cycle, B'shel Shvius, and of the seventh year of the seven-year Shemitah cycle, Haya Biur. That's the time to do Biur, to, as we just described, settle the score with the various tithes and gifts. Ketzed Haya Biur, so how does one go about doing it? Nosnen Truma, Utrumas Meiser Labailim, one gives the Truma and Trumas Meiser to its proper owner, meaning the Kohanim. Now, once the Kohen receives that gift, he doesn't have any deadline, meaning he can let his Truma or Trumas Meiser sit in his cupboard for a long time. He hasn't got the clock ticking till Erev Pesach or anything like that. You, as the farmer, as the Bailim, must give it, though. That's the deadline. Same goes, Umas Rishon Labailim, you have to give the Meiser Rishon to its proper owner, meaning to a Levi. Umaiser ani labalav, and you have to give the maaser ani that you separate in years three and year six to its owner, meaning to the poor person of your choosing, but to some poor person who's eligible for maaser sheni, as we defined at the end of Maseches Peah. Umaiser sheni, as for maaser sheni, which is for your consumption, it might be mamon gavoa, it's God's food, if you will, but it's for your consumption, not another human being's consumption, as well as Ravai, which is included but not mentioned explicitly here in the Mishnah, Vahabikurim, and also your first fruits, meaning again to the seven species there Israel is praised with. You have to take some of them to Yerushalayim to be given to Kohanim. Those, if you didn't do it in time, meaning if it's sitting around, or even if a Kohen for that matter has some Bikurim sitting in his cupboard that he hasn't consumed, come the deadline, then Mitbarim, they must be Mitbar, they must be destroyed, B'chol Mokom, wherever they are. Wherever they are means whether you, the Bailam, have that Bikurim, or even if the Kohen has it, he also has to destroy it, in contrast to the Truma and Trumas Meiser, which he doesn't have to destroy, he can keep till later on. Okay? Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, HaBikurim nitanin lekohanim katruma. He disagrees with the treatment of Bikurim. He says, Bikurim is treated just like Truma, meaning must be given to a Kohen, and once the Kohen has received it, he doesn't need to destroy it come the deadline. So that's a machlokes there. But the halacha is going to be like the Tana Kama. And now the Mishnah goes on to a slightly different topic, the question of what happens if you don't have the food in its original natural form, you've gone on to process it and put it into some dish. So does that whole dish now need to be destroyed, removed as appropriate, whatever the each whatever we're talking about the dish is inside the dish. So the truth is that the Yerushalmi says that if you're talking about something like oil or bread, where the produce itself is certainly like nikar, it's obviously in front of you, there's still the wheat sitting here, etc. So then that certainly is going to need to be removed or destroyed as appropriate. And the same goes if you have something which is totally gone. Like, for example, you had wine, which you poured into the cholent, and now the wine is just, it's gone, it's absorbed in. So that's for sure considered to be biur, and no obligation for biur on that wine, or the cholent, for that matter. The question, however, is when you have a tavshil, a dish, where the truth is, if you look very carefully, you can see that let's say, maaser sheni is still inside the food, but, you know, it's not screaming, here I am. So, for example, if you make a cholent and you put in some barley, and that barley is maaser sheni barley. So in that scenario, you know, if the barley is ben, it's still there, but it's not really screaming, I'm here. So the question is, do you need to now pick out the barley piece to destroy the whole cholent? And that says the Mishnah is a machlokus, hatavshil, if you have such a dish where you've put the food that needs to be destroyed or removed in it. He says then, in such a scenario, since you can see the barley corns in there a little bit even, now you'll have to, if it's a maaser sheni, it's a deadline come, you'll have to destroy it. And Beis Hillel omrim, harehu kamavuar, it's already as if it were destroyed because it's gone. You can't really, it's not really screaming here I am anymore, and that is sufficient. So then no need now to destroy the maaser sheni any further. It's used up. Just an important side point. When it comes to maaser sheni, although we said for the other things, and revive for that matter, we said for the other different gifts, the delin is erev Pesach. When it comes to your maaser sheni, since you're allowed to eat it, it's there for your consumption, you are allowed to retain, as we said before in the Masechta, your maaser sheni produce that you'll still be consuming throughout the Pesach holiday. And you don't need to destroy anything more than you'll be consuming, and you just have to make sure you eat it all, destroy it by the end, by the deadline of the last day of Pesach, when we will go on to the mitzvah of Vidui HaMaaser, which we'll discuss in a few Mishnayos from here.